traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller coming to you live from Delray Beach, Florida, Sunshine Meadows and Palm Beach Downs Equestrian Facility. We're all excited here. The Derby's coming up. It's feeling like Derby. I'm feeling like Derby. It's all Derby. All coming up. We're down to the final stretch, down to the, we're at the 3/8 pole, headed for the finish line for the Derby this year. A lot of big things have happened in the horse industry here, especially for the thoroughbreds, especially for the show horses. It's exciting in South Florida this time of year because we have the Global International Champions Tour is at Miami. They have the best riders in the world there competing for a lot of money, a lot of prestige and pride. And what we're excited about is we've got three riders here from Sunshine Meadows that have already won their divisions down there. And that's exciting when you have people, you know, training here at your facilities and that you work with every day and they're in winning international competitions. The Global Champions Tour goes to 12 different countries over the summer. And then in the fall, they have their international championship. And looks like we're making good headway, you know, with our riders. And so congratulations to them, to Carriage Hill, to all the riders there. We're proud to be a part of them. And at Carriage Hill Stables here at Delray, it's the home of present, past, and future champions as they're doing their winning all over the country, all over the nation, all over the world. So that's good for us. And then it was exciting last week. We had the $30.5 million Dubai World Cup meeting at Maiden Racecourse. What was great about that, and not only did they have the best horses in the world there, and, you know, the biggest purse offering for racehorses, but the most significant part about it was, is in Dubai for the World Cup car, they brought everything but the kitchen sink. And, I mean, it was really good. And what I liked about it is that the Dubai World Cup people, they set it up to for 33 individual group grade one winners entered across the eight thoroughbred races headlined by the $12 million Dubai World Cup. So that got everybody over there. And then Dubai Racing, working with appointed distribution and production companies, Racecourse Media Group, and RMG's agency, HBA Media, have secured some of the biggest names in the sports for broadcasting. RMG and the World, conjunction with Timeline TV, providing all broadcast services for Dubai Racing Club, including the World Feed program hosted by Nick Luck. Now, this is the greatest thing in the world that they've done. They have brought everything together. And like we've been saying here at International Equine Network, what we try to do is participate in distribution of equine products, and particularly, you know, live and tape coverage. Like, for example, today we have America's Day at the races. It's live. It's coming from a multitude of tracks across the United States, and it's all live right now. If you go to IENTV.org. Then we have a really good thing on there. It's called Farm of the Week. And I like these things like this. It's the Calumet Trophy Collection. It's the greatest thoroughbred trophy collection in the world. It's just unbelievable. It's a good little bit there. We have our Business of the Week, which is always our Business of the Week. It's Farm Vet. Farm Vet supplies horses all over the world with all the needs that they need for racing, showing, breeding, you name it, they have it. And they have the expertise to tell you what you need. They can help you with your problems. So all you got to do is go to farmvet.com, and they'll tell you what you need and can get you fixed right up. And they drop ship right to wherever you're at, whether you're in Kentucky, Florida, Canada, China, Hong Kong, you know, wherever you're at, Dubai, England, France, they drop right ship right to you. and all. So that's all what we're here about. We're about distribution here, like Farm Vet. We're good distribution people here. Then we have Equestrian of the Week, and I tell you what, this is really a good piece to see. It's on Dwayne Lucas. He sits down and he tells you exactly how it is, and he explains to you, and it's a good little interview with him there. He'll tell you what it's about, what he's done, and how he got to where he's at. You know, and it's good. He's a very, very good man. He's great for the sport. In fact, whenever he's racing horses and he's racing all over, he selects a kid, you know, and a family from the audience or the fans there at the track. And if he wins the race, they get in the win picture with him. And so that's really a popular thing, you know, to see. And he gets to see, you know, how Dwayne Lucas runs his barn. So that's really good. We got Quick Links. We're going to be adding more to that today because we're rearranging some things on it. But it's all to help the horsemen. We have like Trivago for travel, have weather.com for wherever you're going. You can see, you know, what the weather is and, you know, what you're going to go through and weather-wise to get to wherever you're going, you know, with your horses. We have MapQuest. MapQuest is really great. I use it every day to see where the horses are going, how they're getting there, the roads they're on, if there's any traffic, any wrecks, anything of that nature is really, really good. Then we have Walmart. On there, it's a quick link to Walmart. You can get everything you need right at, you know, right at the click of a button, and they deliver right to the racetrack. They'll deliver to the farm. They'll deliver to your house, your hotel. You know, they're really good at what they do at it, and they got everything that you need. Have that. And then we have HISA. HISA is an organization that monitors the rules and regulations of the horse industry. It's new in the last 2 years, and I would suggest you go to HISA.org and from our website, or, you know, you can do it from wherever you're at. And it helps you with answer all the questions about medication, rules, regulations, state licensing, you name it, they've got it. It's really good. And then we have Equine Transportation. I worked with the Brookledge people for a few years. They're a great organization. They have the best equipment in the business. They got great drivers that are, and all their drivers are horsemen. That makes a big difference when you're shipping. They're all horsemen. They've been there. They've done that. They know how to get to the tracks, to the showgrounds, to the farms, you name it. They know how to do it. That's, you know, Brookledge. They are really, really good people. I'm telling you, they know it all. And then probably one of the most important things that we have on the site, and this covers all horsemen, and like we said, it's all about distribution. And why I like, there's two reasons why I like Hallway Feeds. Hallway Feeds is a company that does distribution all over the world. There's not a place you can't go without getting Hallway Feed. All you got to do is give them your itinerary, and they will help you, you know, get there with the feed. But more importantly, they have a staff there that knows the horse feed business. And what I like about it is you can call up and you can talk to them at Hallway Feeds. Hallway Feeds will tell you and show you and help you feed your horse. You might have a horse that goes off his feed, and they'll talk to you and evaluate the situation. And they'll tell you, this is the feed that we have that can help you with your horse. And that's the greatest thing in the world, is when you got somebody that knows the horse feed business and they can help you. I don't care whether it's a show horse, a backyard pony, you know, a thoroughbred, a standard bred, you know, you name it, whether it's a stallion or a mare, young horses, old horses, racing, showing, they can tell you what you're going to need, you know, and they tell you how to feed them. And they're fantastic people there. They've been there for a long time, and they're a family-owned and operated feed company. And it's really good. Then today, we got At the Wire. We have Racing Live from Keeneland on our program, which is good. We also have Racing Across America which is our other at the wire. It's called America's Day at the Races, all live racing. So you're getting a real good show today of live racing. It's opening day at Keeneland, by the way. You know, forgot to say that. That was the most important thing, I guess, on there at Keeneland. And then you keep on going down. We got weekly programming on there today that it'll be up on the site and our program next week. It's called the IEN Rough Cut. It's how IEN started and how we started doing things. And then we have Anna Seitz that was at Keeneland for us for the International Equine Network. We did a story on Reddy's Echo. Reddy's Echo was a three-year-old horse that ran in the Belmont Stakes, and we talked to the owners and see, you know, what they go through and what they were thinking on Reddy's Echo, and go behind the scenes and talk to the jockeys, and you know, you see just, and like I said, it's just a rough cut. We didn't edit this. It was just the film that we shot on camera at Keeneland. You know, it's really interesting peaks to do. And then the one thing that I really do like doing and enjoying doing the most on our programming is we have IEN state-by-state equine reports. And so what we do is we go state to state and see exactly the status of the equine industry. And this is one of my first, well, actually, this was the first one, was the Florida horse. And it from the Florida Ag Department, they tell us exactly about the agriculture industry and how much the horses mean to the state of Florida. They talk with tack shop owners. They talk with trainers. They talk with show people. You know, we've got the harness racing. We've got the thoroughbred racing. And it's really interesting, you know, and it gives you a lot of information on statistics, you know, and how important the horse community is to each and every state that brings billions of dollars in and employs, you know, thousands and thousands of people, you know, in each state. And so that was good. And then we have our Quest for Equine Gold. Today we have live U.S. Open Polo Championship from Wellington, Florida. And it's a live match. It's really good. You know, if you want to know a little bit about polo, you can go there. All the announcers are very, they explain everything. It's exciting to watch. And like I said, it's live going on here at, you know, here from Wellington. And then you can see polo Saturday and Sunday also live on IENTV.org. But it's really interesting to see these guys get into the drones and all the things and flying over the horses. And they're very good at what they do. So we like that. And then on our International Equine Report that we have, we got to look ahead at Keeneland's card today. This came out this morning. And it's about, you know, what the horses do at Keeneland, who they think's going to win. You know, it's a real good thing to do to see. You know, it gives you a lot of good information, you know, here on it. And then we get a little bit more technical on this next segment here that we do. And I think it's really kind of nice to be able to see this. It kind of helps you understand the horse a little bit. And How Horses See the World is the name of this segment. It's about the horse's eye. And it tells you exactly what they see and how they see it, the colors they see and don't see, their vision, you know, how it's really a great technical situation. And it makes you understand a little bit more, because a lot of times you can walk up to a horse and raise your hand and, you know, gently to like pet them on the face or the nose. And it tells you about what areas they can see and where they can't see it from. You know, and so then that gives you a little bit more information on how to walk up and pet a horse, you know, so that you don't spook him or scare him, you know, and it explains how the eye works, and it's really a good thing, you know, to watch on there. Then weekly on At the Wire, on IEM. We have racing from Aqueduct in New York. We had Talking Horses on there this morning. They come in and they do a they analyze the races for the day and tell you who they think is going to win, and you know, give you a lot of good information on the jockeys and the owners and the trainers. And that's from Aqueduct. That's what we have every day they race. We have Talking Horse, a show called Talking Horses. And then we have Oaklawn Park today. Oaklawn is in Hot Springs, Arkansas. They're racing currently live now. You can come and watch it at the website. They also go over in the mornings. They go over the races for the day, you know, just like they do at Aqueduct, who's going to win, who's going to lose, you know, who's going to make money, who's not going to make money. They're really good at that. And then I tell you what, of all the racetracks in the country, one of the best programs they have is Tampa Bay Downs live stream that's live on IEN right now. It's really a good program. The track is beautiful. They're very professional in what they do. I'm not saying that all the others aren't, but it's just something about Tampa Bay Downs. They got that tropical, you know, look, atmosphere, and they're real good, and you'll really enjoy it. You don't have to know a lot about horses, but you'll enjoy Tampa Bay Downs for sure live on IEN. And then one of the projects that we started, it's called Triple Crown Tradition. We're going to be updating that here in the next couple of weeks. And next year, a year from this time, we're going to be having the Triple Crown Tradition. And what we do is we go to the Triple Crown is made up of three races, Churchill Downs, the Kentucky Derby, Pimlico Racetrack, the Preakness, and Belmont Park, the Belmont Stakes. And what we do is we go to each one of the tracks and we find out what their signature recipes are. For example, on Churchill Downs now, in Triple Crown Tradition, we have four of the top recipes of the Kentucky Derby. They come in and they tell you, you know, what it is, what, you know, how to make it, and you know, which is really good. And you can do it. You can watch it. The Preakness food from Maryland. You know, Kentucky will be barbecue and Kentucky burger. The Preakness will have Maryland crab cakes and seafood. They got a real good tradition there, and you can get a lot of good, you know, good ideas. And then we have at Belmont Park for the Belmont Stakes, it's how to make a Belmont julep. It's like the mint julep from Churchill, but it's got the New York add to it. And we also have food from there, and that will be pretty much, you know, a high-end steak and lobster type thing, you know, from Belmont. They're real good at what they do. And then one thing that I like about the Triple Crown Tradition is, well, first of all, the recipes. We got a recipe there now for how to make the Kentucky Hot Brown Bake, and they're like sliders, and those are really popular, and you can feed a lot of people on very little money making them. But the recipes on there for the sliders, the Kentucky Brown Bake, it's called, and they're sliders. But and then we also have on there about Kentucky Burgoo, you know, and we got the Maryland, and we got New York. But the most unique thing about these three tracks is that in 2025, we're going to have a Triple Crown cook-off. And it starts with the Kentucky Derby, goes to the Preakness, and then to the Belmont. But what we do is at each track, like say for Churchill, for example, we're going to have a trainer, a jockey, and an owner present their recipes, so they can brag on them. And that's one thing I found out about this business, about the horse business. Boy, horse people sure like to talk about their horses and what all goes on with them, how they get there. And so, you know, like I said, we're going to have a trainer, a jockey, and an owner bring their recipes in from Churchill, Pimlico, and Belmont. And then at the Breeders' Cup, we'll have the final cook-off, and that will be at Del Mar Racetrack. And we'll have the winner from each one of the tracks cook off against each other at the Del Mar Racetrack in California, and that'll be on Breeders' Cup week. So, you know, we could have literally have three jockeys that, you know, make it to Del Mar. Literally, they could actually be riding in one of the Breeders' Cup races that that week. You know, or we could have three trainers. They could have horses in the Breeders' Cup that week. Or we could have three owners, you know, that would have horses that they own and are running in the Breeders' Cup. But like I said, it's going to be, it'll be three different people. You know, it could be a jockey, an owner, and a trainer. Any combination of that. So we'll have that at November at Del Mar. Then we get down to our international, domestic, and equine calendar. Like today, we have Georgina Bloomberg is live at Miami. She's riding at the Global Champions Tour in Miami. So that's live. And it's really good. It's a good weekend to, if you want to watch live racing. And they're right on the ocean. They jump and they show right on the ocean. And, I mean, that is really – it's been a great thing for Miami, you know, for bringing people in. So that's Quest for Equine Gold live from Miami this weekend. We have Flying Turns. And Flying Turns is a little thing that we do on the harness industry. And we this past couple of weeks we had In the Sulky and we had Scott Zierman on there, one of the top drivers in the country and around the world. He's winning everything. The Zierman stable is doing good. Scott's a good driver. He drives for some of the top owners in the country. And so that's really an interesting little segment there that you can see and talk and watch him talk about. And then we have quarter time, saddling at sunrise. This is really an interesting thing. It shows you how they gather cattle up, how the quarter horse people gather cattle and cut them out. And, you know, it's really a good, interesting thing. It's real cowboy stuff, you know, and that's what I like about it. You know, there's just so much there, and it's interesting. And they explain it to you how they do it and how they train the horses and, you know, what they do. And then we get down to the gist of what we're getting ready to get into here about the Keeneland opening and everything. I developed a program, and unfortunately this year I got sick and I was in the hospital a couple of months and taking chemo, and I didn't get to finish this out like I wanted to. But it's called How They Get There, the 2025 Kentucky Derby. The journey starts with the owner. And we go to the owner and we talk to them and, you know, we kind of interview them and pick their brains and see what they do, and, you know, how they get their horses into the Kentucky Derby. You know, first of all, they got to have a horse and they might breed it on their own farm, as they call a homebred. They might go to the sales and buy one at the sales. They might do a private deal with somebody. There's all kinds of wheeling and dealing, and that's where the journey starts to get to the Kentucky Derby, is with the owner. And then the owner has to make a decision. He's got to pick a trainer. You know, he's got to get a trainer that's experienced, that's getting there. You know, it could be a Bob Baffert, or it could be Steve Asmussen. Could be a Todd Pletcher, Shug McGahee. You know, there's a lot of good trainers out there, but they have to sit down and they negotiate a deal with that trainer, and they tell them, this is the horse that we have. This is what he looks like. This is the breeding, you know, and we think that, you know, we might be able to get this horse here because we've got starting with all the right, you know, tools. And then the trainer will look at the horse, they'll talk and evaluate everything, and then the trainer will say yes or no. And then they go from there. And once they decide to work together on it, They come in, and then the first thing that they do is they start talking about jockeys. You know, what jockey, you know, thinks would fit that horse. And that's very an important thing to do, because you got so much getting ready to go on with this horse to get to the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, once you get the jockey, you know, you don't know if that horse is going to be good or not, neither does the jockey. So it's kind of a learning curve, you know, work together type thing. So they do that. And then once you get your jockey, you know, lined up, then the jockey and the owner and the trainer sit down and they start mapping out the journey to the Kentucky Derby. You know, where are we going to have his first race at? And usually a lot of the good horses and good trainers, they point for Saratoga. They point for Saratoga, and there's two reasons that they do that. One, it's competition, and you can really get a good hold on your horse and evaluation of your horse if he can go to Saratoga in August and win as a two-year-old. Very important. And the second thing is that if you can do that and win at Saratoga, then that says that establishes the foundation for a breeding program down the road. If he makes it to the breeding shed, or if the mare makes it to the breeding shed, that's very important, you know, to have that on your resume. And so once they do that, then that's in August, and then about 2 or 3 weeks later, you have the first leg of the Kentucky Derby points system. It's the Iroquois race at Churchill Downs. It's in the middle of the month, and that's the first race that you get to get points for the Kentucky Derby, because it's all on a point system now, and you've got 26 races to plan out to get your horse enough points to get into the Kentucky Derby. So if you can start off, you know, at Saratoga with a win, even though there's no Derby points available, then you can literally point towards the Iroquois, possibly, at Churchill Downs, you know, to get your first points. And that and it's a benefit in two ways there. One, you get points for getting into the Derby, and two, you've got a race over the Churchill track where the Kentucky Derby is held at. So those are the two things that you do. And if you notice, everything I do has got one or two things or more that if you combine them together can help create success for your program, for your, you know, your equine program. And that's whether it's show horses, thoroughbreds, standardbreds, quarter horses. We try to do all that, you know, together to help you out, get the good foundation built to it is what we try to do. And then once you got that going, you're getting in the right direction, hopefully, and everything. We have a little thing there where you meet the jockeys. Lafitte Pinkai, he's an all-time winner. He's done it all, been there and done that. So it's really good to hear his view on it, which is good. Then the owner has to come in and start putting things together. And one of them is, you know, like how they bought the horses, whether he bred it or they buy it. You can go to our equine sales segment. And it's behind the scenes at Kima. It's a good program on how they select yearlings you know, get ready to race, you know, the next year. And that's one of the best sales in the world that you can go to is Kima. You know, you go behind the scenes and you hear them talking about this horse and that horse. So it's really, really pretty good. You know, so that's good. That's another thing that the owner, you know, is involved in. So now you got the owner, the trainer, the jockey, you know, you got everybody involved in it. Now we get down to the nitty gritty, the ones that the day in and day out people that have to make decisions, you know, right on the spot. And one of them is the blacksmith. We got a little segment on Steve Norman, one of the best blacksmiths ever to get underneath a horse. This guy is just fantastic. And the sad part about it is Steve is a better, he's a bluegrass player, and he plays bluegrass music, and he's probably better at bluegrass music than he is shoeing horses. And Steve shod hundreds of horses, Derby winners, Breeders' Cup winners. The guy's really good, you know, he's really good at what he does. And so that's important that the blacksmith knows, you know, who your trainer is and where you're going and what you're doing. That's very important because he can plan out your schedule, you know, for it. You usually shoe a thoroughbred every 5 weeks. And then, you know, you got your race days and your work days that you work them. So you have to make sure that the blacksmith knows those dates so that, you know, they can plan on, you know, to make sure that your horse's feet are in its best condition. You do that. And so that's the blacksmith. And then we talked about the feed with hallway feeds. You know, you go to them and tell them, you know, hey, we're on the Derby path. We're trying to get him to the Derby. This is the feed that he's on. You know, what do you think? You know, the horse is doing good. If there's any changes, you can make them. And you can make the changes with a phone call, you know, to hallway feed. So that's really good and everything. And then we have the Derby prep races that we've been talking about, where you get your points. And this is really a crucial part of your training. This past last year that we had, it was kind of unusual. We had a lot of bad weather, had a lot of rain, you know, had all kinds of things. And not just at any one track, it was all over the country. You know, we had races that were being canceled because of weather. We had cold weather, we had hot weather. You know, you name it, you know, we had it. And so, unfortunately, you can't just, well, like, say, for example, the guys at Hot Springs, Arkansas, where they got the local Arkansas Derby and four or five prep races for that, where you earn Derby points, you know, in there. They had a lot of bad weather, so, you know, you can't just pick up and go. You just got to train through it. And same thing at Santa Anita. Had high winds, rain, you know, out in California. Down here at Gulfstream Park, we had rain and heat all year long. It was all different. In New York, they had all kinds of, you know, problems in New York, rain, snow, mud, sleet, you know, you name it, they had it. And so it was like that everywhere. There wasn't a track that wasn't touched by weather this year, and you had to adjust your training schedule. You know, if you have to miss a couple of days here and there, you know, it usually doesn't hurt a fit horse. But if you're on that ladder climbing up and each, you know, time you race or you know, work your horse is important, you know, it's tough. And it's hard to get a thoroughbred race fit and keep him race fit. Very hard to do, you know, but that's what all you do and how you get there. And then this is what I like. The decision to run in the Kentucky Derby. I tell you what, when you get out and you're talking to people, you know, in the barn and the trainers and the grooms and the jockeys and everything, there's eye contact. But when it comes up, when the question comes up, do we run in the Derby? There's more people looking at the ground, looking up at the sky, you know, looking at the stall. You know, nobody wants to say yay or nay on there because, you know, it's an important decision. And you hopefully you've got your horse ready to go to the Derby. And the experiences that I've been in, the people that own the horse and the trainers, they kind of get everybody together and say, hey, guys, should we run in the Derby? You know, from the hot walker and the groom to exercise riders to the jockeys to everybody at the farm, you know, at the home farm where they came from. You know, it's an exciting thing. It's very exciting because, you know, you get that Derby fever. You get crazy, you know. It's like, man, here we go. We're going to the Derby. And then as soon as you decide that you're going to the Derby and the trainer and the owner and everybody gets together with their schedules and say, okay, this is what it's going to be like for the next 3 weeks. We're going to be training every day. We're going to be working once a week. You know, we're going to ship the horse in 3 days before the Derby. We're going to ship the horse in a week before the Derby, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before the Derby. You know, there's all kinds of things to decide. You know, do you want them to get to Churchill and, get acclimated to the track and the routine, or do you want to keep them at home where they've trained so good and they've produced so much, you know, and then take them in 3 days before the Derby? You know, you can do that. It's called shocking them. When you shock them, you take them in and they get off the van or get off the airplane, and they're right in and right getting down right to business. You know, they acclimate to the track, you know, fairly quick, and then they don't get into any bad habits, you know, or anything. You know, they're not mesmerized by the crowd and you know the goings on and everything. So you know, it's up to each trainer and each owner how they do that. And you know, that's a tough thing to do when you go there. You know, and then all the things that you got to think about for your crew. You got to think about housing, hotels, transportation. You got to think about owners and friends and potential. And this is a tough one on the trainer. You got to think about potential owners possibly. You know, if you got a horse running in the Derby and you're not training any horses for a guy or a girl, let's say, you might want to, you know, kind of smooth a little and say, "Hey, Bill, Sue, would you like to come over to the Derby? Meet us, come over to the barn and see us at Derby time." You know, and then maybe, you know, they'll bring a couple horses your way, you know, but maybe not. But, you know, those are the kind of things that you do. And then you just hope like heck that the weather's good, you know, that you go from there. And one thing that I must say about the weather, let's say if you get to Churchill Downs and it's pouring down rain, and you were in Arkansas all winter long, and it rained most of the time, you know, in Arkansas or California or wherever, you know, and it rains on Derby Day, at least you know you got a horse that can run in the mud, you know. But if you got a horse that's been in, you know, good weather and fast tracks all year long, you know, you go back and say, "Oh, man, this is going to be a new one for him." Plus, you know, 150,000 people at Churchill, 20 horse field, you know, there's so much, you know, that can take away from you. You know, you just don't know. So, you know, that's what you worry for. And that last week, the last 10 days going into Derby is really tough. I mean, it's really tough because you've got thousands of people at the track every day coming to take the tours of the backside. You know, you got all kinds of activities. They got Thunder over Louisville. It's one of the largest fireworks show in the world. The Zambelli brothers put it on. A few years ago, they had 850,000 people there. And it's an all-day thing, and people are going crazy. And then at nighttime, it's an hour long and fireworks going off. And it's probably, it's on the Ohio. It's called Thunder on the Ohio and Thunder over Louisville. But you're probably 4 miles away, 5 miles away from Churchill Downs. I mean, you can sit at the backside of Churchill and you can watch the fireworks up in the air. And that's going off and that's getting the horses all wound up, you know, and it's at nighttime. It's over about 9:30 at night. So, you know, got to deal with that. You know, so that's really tough, you know, on it. But, you know, to get the horse to the Derby is really something else. And then, you know, then there's the morning at the Derby, and we're going to have on, our intv.org, we're going to have morning at the Downs, and it's called the Morning Works, and it's an hour-long program, and it talks about who went out to the track and who worked. And what they do is they shut the track down a little bit after 8:30, and they only let the Derby and Kentucky Oaks and Stake horses go out on the track, and they all have a saddle towel that has their name on them and their, you know, who they are and so forth. And so we have that every day, and that's good to watch, you know, because they interview trainers and owners and jockeys and that type of thing. That would be every morning leading up to the Derby coming up. It's like a 10-day window that we have there with them, you know, so that's good. And then of course, you know, you got Derby Day. Derby Day, you know, the owners are bringing in all kinds of people. They're bringing in relatives and they're bringing in everybody in the world coming in, and they're mixing it up in the barn and talking and having their coffee and donuts and, you know, and all like that. So, and that, it's just a lot of things that go on, and you really can't school your horses for all that until it actually happens. And the only time it actually happens is the 10 days of Derby, you know. And, but it makes them better for the Preakness and the Belmont and the Breeders' Cup. You know, it schools them and educates them and do that. And then there's the race itself, the Derby. You know, they load them up into the gate. You know, 20 horses go in. And let me tell you something. I've loved it. I've been involved in a lot of Derbies. And the one Derby that I remember the most was the 1982 Kentucky Derby. We had a horse called El Baba. And he went off as the co-favorite for the Derby that year. And we'd won the Louisiana Derby with him. And, you know, we were feeling good. You know, the horse did good, no sicknesses, no nothing. And so, you know, we're taking him over to the paddock to get him, you know, saddled up for the Derby. He flew through that like it was nothing. You know, there's hundreds of people there at the paddock. And let me tell you, he was good. He was spot on. He didn't get crazy. He didn't wash out what they call getting nervous. He didn't wash out. And we took him out and let him out to the track and give him to the pony boy. And he warms up good, loaded in the gate good. You know, we were so excited. He breaks good. He gets out front. He's running with a filly called Koopa Koi's Joy. And, you know, they're out there and they're chasing him and everything. And then all of a sudden they hit the 3/8 pole and this filly starts backing up. She's getting tired. You know, and she's trying to find a way back, you know, to get out of the way of everybody else. And that's very difficult to do, to drive a horse backwards in a race. But she started backing up. And when she did, she interfered with us just a little bit, nothing significant, but enough to get El Baba off track. And he wrenched a hock. And, you know, that was unfortunate. Can't say that we would want it, but we were in position to win it. You know, we couldn't ask for anything better. And so then, you know, the race continues on and we ended up finishing 11th. And all, and it was a tough setback, you know, to put in all that time and work, you know, and to have something like that happen. And listen, it wasn't just us. It happened to a lot of horses in that race. They had took a bad step or, you know, they did something, you know, that got them off center and all like that. So, you know, that was tough, you know, to do right there. But all in all, then the Derby's done, and you're on off to Pimlico, and you start the same process of getting to Pimlico. But the bad part about the Derby was is for like 3 weeks prior to the Derby, every day I'd go to the barn. There were people, reporters, news crews, pictures being taken, asking questions. Man, I tell you, that was really rough. And it was kind of nice, you know, being the one that everybody's chasing after. You know, are they going to beat us? How are we going to win the Derby? And so, I mean, camera people every day, ABC Sports, you know, was there, everything. So after we run 11th in the Derby on the way back over to the barn, you know, I said, wow, man, I said, what an experience that was to hear my old Kentucky home coming out of that tunnel and seeing the fans and people yelling at you. It was really good. So the next morning when I got into work, it was so funny. You know, in hindsight, it is funny. But that morning, that was the lowest I ever felt. There wasn't a cameraman around. There wasn't a reporter around. There wasn't nothing. We were just another horse in the barn from the top to the bottom, you know, in 2 minutes time, you know. And I said, oh, my goodness, you know. And I said, oh, gee whiz. But that's, you know, the trials and tribulations of owning a horse and going to something like the Derby. And it's the same thing with show horses and standardbreds and quarter horses. You know, you point for the gold ring, you know, for the championship. And, you know, everybody loses. And then when you think about it, if you go to the racetrack, usually there's 10 races a day, 10 horses on average in there. That's 100 horses a day racing. But there's only 10 winners. You know, and so, you know, that experience of the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, oh, man, that is so true, you know, because you walk over there on an even keel with all the other horses. When they spring that great gate 2 minutes later, you either win the race or you're a loser. One of the two. There's no in between. And also, that's tough. But, the Derby is something that's been a tradition for 150 years now. And I tell you, it's a great thing to do. And what I like about it most is it's a social thing. You can get together with you don't have to know anything about, horses. All you know is that the Derby is on the first Saturday in May at Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. They get 150,000 people to the infield. And it's one heck of a party. And what I like about it, like I said, you don't have to know anything about the horses, but you can pop open the grill in your backyard, get you some good refreshments back there. You can go to our website and see what they're cooking at Churchill, King, Pimlico, or Belmont. You can make your own Derby tradition, start your own Derby tradition. And go from there. My sister, she makes cream cheese brownies. And I mean, she really makes them good. They're big and they taste real good. My cousin, he makes some of the best barbecue chicken and ribs that you ever did see. And you can put your own, gourmet touch to everything. And, you can create your own menu and bring your own friends over and it's really good. It's really a good thing to do. And what a lot of people do, and what I used to do when I wasn't involved on racing on the track, is we would have a Derby party, and everybody that came would put $5 in the pot. And then you'd get a number, and it could be one through 20. And then whoever's horse wins, that person gets that $5 pot. So, you're looking at $100. And $5 is not much out of your pocket to pay. And, at least you're betting on the race and making it nice, to a nice little thing to win, if you're lucky. And what's cool about it is you don't have to have any skills on handicapping. You just take the number they give you out of the pot, and that's always fun. And there's a lot of trade numbers and, hey, Bill, trade me this. So I got the 5 horse and you got the 10. 10's my favorite number. Let's trade. So that those are the kind of traditions and things that you do that you create in the horse business. And it's just not, the thoroughbreds only. You can do that with, trotters, and you can do that with, show horses. There's a lot you can do. Now, like, for example, getting down coming up here in Lexington, you got a big horse sale coming to Lexington for thoroughbreds, one of the best sales in the country. And you can go up to that horse sales. You don't have to be an owner. You don't have to be a horse person, but it's open to the public. And they give you out catalogs, and you can take a catalog and you can look and read about each one of the horses that are in the sale. And, it's always fun to say, hey, Susan, what do you think about this horse? Think of sell for $1 million. She might say, no, that's 10,000. And then you watch it go through the ring and the horse sells for 500,000, or the horse sells for 10 or $1 million. And that's kind of the things to do. It entertains you while you're educating yourself about the horse industry. And that's the key here at the end of the month out there. Then they also, in Lexington, they have the 3-day Rolex. It's a polo, one of the premier polo. The polo is really good there at Lexington. And then along with the polo, they have the 3-day Rolex. It's a Grand Prix jumping, it's dressage and cross country. And you have some of the best horses around the world coming to it. I mean, the 3-day Rolex is just unbelievable. That they have there. And what I like about it is you can go to the horse park there in Lexington, and you can walk right up to the stadium and see the horses show jumping. You can watch them dressage. And then what I really like to do is you can pick you a spot out on the cross country course. And they got, quite a few jumps that they go over, and it's a long race, and they got bridges and creeks, and fences that they jump over, and it's really exciting. And you can walk right up to the edge of the course there, and you can stand there and watch them. You can walk all around, watching them and everything. And one of the things that I always did like at the Kentucky Horse Park is that they have a headset. You can rent a headset up in the, I believe you go up to the gift shop, and they might have booths around where you can get them. But you can get these headsets, and you can walk through the park, and it tells you, you're at the Grand Prix ring, you're at the dressage ring, and it tells you who's on course. And, it's really a good thing that they do there, with that. So, and that's what I like about it. And then again, like I said, the polo, they got great polo there in Lexington all week long. You can go and watch polo, and it's free. And I mean, it's something that, is really to be, experienced. And it's a week-long thing, and you can plan, like, one day you go see polo. One day you go out to the stadium and see the jumping. Then you'll see the horse sales. And the closing day at Keeneland for racing, you'll see that. You can go there for that. And then, day or two later, Churchill Downs opens up for racing. You can go down and see the museum and do the museum tour. If you go early in the mornings, starting when the backside's open now at Churchill, you can take a backside tour, and they take you around and show you all the barns and all the horses on a little tram, like a Disney World type thing. They do that. They got breakfast at the Downs, where you can go over in the mornings and watch the Derby horses train and get breakfast. That's really a good thing to enjoy. Then you got the Derby Museum that you can go see, which is, it's fantastic. When you go there, they got a starting gate. They got a starting gate in the museum that you can actually stand in. And that's the starting gate that, that has been used for the Kentucky Derby. You can see what the jockey and what the horse sees when they're standing in that gate. It's just an amazing thing to go through the Churchill Museum there, Kentucky Derby Museum. And then after that, the biggest thing you have to decide is where you got to go to eat after the Kentucky Derby on Sunday morning. They got a lot of places, and that's something that kind of winds down and shuts down, and you can say all of your goodbyes to your friends and to Churchill and to the city of Louisville and do that. I forgot that Thunder over Louisville that we were talking about that sometimes scares the horses. They had 850,000 people there a couple of years ago. They got that. They got Hillerts and Bradsby, the baseball bat factory. They saw the bats for the major leagues. There's just so much to do there, and it's an equine tradition. And that's what I'm trying to do here at IEN, is get everybody in a tradition, of doing something. I like coming to our show on Friday, listening to our show, or going to BBS Radio and go to the archives and listen to them off of there. This is what makes a great deal for us, for BBS Radio and IEN. They're in the point, they're at distribution. They do distribution of all kinds of, radio podcasts and TV podcasts, and they do that. And they got a new thing now that they're doing. It's churches. Churches are really starting to do podcasts and things like that. And so we try to tie everything that we do here at IEN into all the people that we associate with, like Hallway Feeds. They're into distribution, and they do cover all breeds. Brookledge Horse Transportation, they're into getting horses back and forth to the races of the show and on all breeds. That's what we do here at IEN. We cover it all, just like BBS Radio and Hallway Feeds and all that. But the main point that I'm trying to get to is that we have all the tools here that you need to get involved with the horses. Now, you don't have to be participating in it. You don't have to be working in it. You don't have to be doing anything like that. You can actually get involved, and then eventually you might get into it. You might end up buying a horse. You know, you might be a restaurant owner and you say, hey, I'm going to have me a Derby day here at the restaurant, or a Preakness day, you know, or a Rolex day, you know, a 3-day Rolex event. You know, you create events surrounded around the horses, and the horses draw people to that event. You know, that's what it's all about, is distribution. And the Saudis have proved that by having the big races that they have. It's all about distribution. You know, they go to all these different countries, and everybody's racing or working because the horse industry is a income sport. It creates the economic impact for any and everywhere there's an equestrian event. You know, that's what you got to look at. And so, you know, there's a lot to the Derby. We're going to really get into the Derby here next week, you know, with some good videos. The morning works are going to be broadcast, which is good. You can find out who's who and who's what. And it's not real early in the morning, but it's not real late either. You know, while you're having your coffee and breakfast, you can do that. Maybe learn a recipe or two, you know, identify people who they are, you know, that are involved in it. Right now, like I said, we got Global Champions Tour down at Miami this weekend. It's right on the beach. You see some of the best riders in the world there. It is really exciting. We got the Wood Memorial and the Bluegrass Stakes coming up, and the Santa Anita Derby coming up this weekend. And those are all Derby points getters. You know, you got to run into them to get, you know, finish up your points. And then next week we'll have the Lexington Stakes. That's going to be our last Derby points to try to get into the Derby. And you know what's interesting about this year's Derby? There's no one standout. They've all had their ups and downs. You know, this is going to be the most wide open Derby ever. Fierceness, and I have to talk about him for just a second. Fierceness is trained by Todd Pletcher, owned by the Mike Ripoli stable. He's at our West Palm Beach. He trained all winter long in our West Palm Beach farm. And then the Japanese are bringing over a horse called Forever Young. And this horse might be the first Derby winner for Japan. They've acclimated him to training the American style racing over in Japan, and he is really good. Very flashy, very good-looking horse, you know, to see what's going to happen. But like I said, if you want to see the Bluegrass, the Wood Memorial, and the Santa Anita Derby, tune in to IENTV.org this weekend. And if you got any questions, email us at IENTV.org or 561-466-1272, and we'll answer all your questions. So now that I've bored you enough, and hey, you know what? One thing I like, when I cut the switch off here, I ain't getting no phone calls because nobody listens to me, and I don't have any critics. I don't have any critics, and my favorite fan is me. So we'll talk to you next weekend, hopefully, if you dare to call, next Friday at 2:00. Thanks for joining us on the International Equine Network.